Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. And welcome, everybody, to another episode of Pulse of Finns Nation. I am Lewis Sung. I am joined by Chris Early, otherwise known as Duke. I am also joined by Eric Weideke. We may get Alfredo Arteaga near the tail end of the show. It depends on if he can get back from his errands in time. But we've got plenty of Dolphins talk. As always, the draft is quickly approaching. I want to go ahead and let everybody know that on April 23rd, that is 2 days before the draft begins, we are going to be having a Pulse of Finns Nation mock draft show. We have one every single year, and that's going to be the day that we have it. So make sure that you all are tuned in for that. It's going to be a lot of fun, I'm sure. And we'll just kind of let comments decide. We'll have our own thoughts and decisions to make. And we'll try to get through as quickly the draft as we possibly can. So with all that said, let's go ahead and get into the discussion for this show. It's going to be a Tua Tagovailoa-centric episode. We actually haven't had one of those in a while because there is some recent rumors regarding his off-season activities that I feel like is worth mentioning. But before that, really quickly, just want to go ahead and mention, as always, this show is brought to you by our good friends over at PrizePicks.com. PrizePicks.com is a revolutionary fantasy platform where you can now pick up to 6 different players across professional sports leagues, whether that's the NFL, the NBA, or the MLB, one of each. It is up to you to decide. Just choose whether your chosen player will get more or less than their projected stat. They give you free squares, special Taco Tuesday promos, Flex Friday specials where you can get your money back if you lose or multiply the amount of money you can normally win. So with offers like that, it's hard to justify not signing up if you're any kind of fantasy sports fan. Use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, and once again, they will match up to $100 on your deposit when you sign up. Anybody who is inside Florida right now, don't worry. Prize Picks is working on making sure that you all can get back into the game and winning some money as soon as possible. So make sure you stay tuned for that. For those of you outside Florida, once again, use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, and they'll match up to $100 on your deposit when you sign up. And we have a returning sponsor of the show, thanks to the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast crew. We have Factor. So Factor is a great place for you to go ahead and get some fresh meals. You can get, if you are not the kind of person who can just spend all this time at the grocery store trying to set up a menu for yourself throughout the week, don't worry about it. Factor's got you covered already. The guys at 3YPC have a dedicated page over there. Go to factormeals.com/3yardsper carry50. Make sure you put the numbers in. It has to be the numbers. 3 yards per carry 50 as a promo code, and you will get 50% off your first order on Factor. So again, that's factormeals.com/3yardsper carry50. Go ahead and get started with Factor and save yourself some serious shopping time and some healthy meals in the process. All right, so we'll get into the whole discussion right now. The first topic we're going to get into, and I just wanted to make sure that we address this quickly. Before the show, I found it amusing because before the show had even started, right? We had already had a comment before the show had even started. And it was from this member of the chat, Lo-Fi Anime NFT. So make of that what you will. And it says, new motto, no more rainbows in Miami. Draft Michael Penix. So is that how you say it? Is it Penix or Penix? I'm still not down. Penix. Okay, so Michael Penix. Okay, so we're already playing this game where, oh, the best way for Tua to take the next step is to just not be in Miami anymore, or at least that's the implication. Once again, I've said this before on this show. I've said it before on Take Fives. I've said it before on Finns Nation. It is no longer a question of whether or not Tua is going to be the long-term answer in Miami. That question has been answered. He is going to be considered the long-term answer in Miami, like it or not, take it or leave it. So, and now the question just becomes, how much money is he going to get? But this is where I go ahead and I mention, for real, what is the next step for Tua? We discussed it briefly on previous shows, talking about the only thing that he really needs to do, per se, as far as his performance, is that he just needs to stop forcing the issue if the play is not there. So, and I already have Cap for Life. No question has been answered. Technically, I'm wrong. Yes, because he hasn't officially signed the contract yet. But we all know, let's be real, man. We all know that one way or another, he's going to sign a contract of some kind. He's not going to play this year on the fifth year option. He's just not. It's not smart for him. It's not smart for the team. It's not smart for anybody. He's going to sign a deal by the time it all sets up. So, with all that being said, Tua is, he's very much, we've talked about this, he's based on his accuracy. He's based on mechanics. He's based on whether he can find the open guy in the defense. And he's proven already that he can do that when his receivers are where they need to be. So that's where it's going to, that's what we're looking at with Tua right now. What is Tua's ceiling? Well, we've all discussed this as well in at length, that Tua's ceiling is Drew Brees. He has all the same traits. He has all the same physical qualities. He has all the same characteristics of a Drew Brees. So if that's his ceiling, I'm good with giving a ton of money. If you account for, think about it, because people are looking at the $50 million price, because Lo-Fi just tuned in again saying, is McDaniel's system QB friendly? What does a $50 million QB do for us? The QB, it's not the system being QB friendly. The system was designed specifically from the ground up for Tua Tagovailoa. If some other quarterback comes in here, McDaniel is going to have to upend his whole system and start over. Because we all saw that when Teddy Bridgewater stepped in, it didn't work as well. And when Skylar Thompson stepped in, it didn't work as well. And when Mike White stepped in, it didn't work as well. It is not that simple to just plug and play a quarterback into a system and say, guess what? You're the guy now. McDaniel made this system specifically designed for Tua. And so I am looking at this situation and saying, once again, it took Drew Brees, the Hall of Fame Drew Brees, took him 6 years, 6 years to become Hall of Fame quarterback Drew Brees. And I keep bringing it up because we all want to use Drew Brees as the exception and not the rule. Okay, that's fine. That's perfectly fine if you don't have that kind of faith in Tua. But here's where this situation of looking at what your eyes are telling you. If you're going to play the results and just say, oh, Tua collapsed at the playoff. Okay, the rest of the team had collapsed too. You look around, look at the offensive line. It was almost all backups again. And this is not something that is okay. But look at the wide receiver core. Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, they were still playing, yes, but they were like at best at 70% health. And that's on a good day. Tyreek had been rolled up on. He'd been cramping all year because of how much he was running. He'd been overused. He was overused. And I feel like that is a lot more McDaniel than it is Tua to some extent, because McDaniel is, I feel like there was some incentive there to make sure that Tyreek got his 2,000 yards and it didn't work out for them. You have to understand just how much emphasis has to be put on one player to get them that kind of yardage. Calvin Johnson was the only one who had gotten anywhere close to that before then. And Calvin Johnson, and if I'm not mistaken, when he was still playing in Detroit, he was like the only real weapon that the Detroit Lions had at the time. So who else were they going to throw to? Of course, Calvin Johnson was going to get that kind of attention. So in that same vein, you're looking at Tyreek and saying, okay, no wonder he was hobbled. He was running around like a madman and he was injured. So yes, that is going to have an effect on the offense. Ask any quarterback who no longer has elite weapons to work with. It's going to have an impact on them. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to open up the floor to everybody, because we'll talk about what Tua actually is doing. But I feel like we need to reiterate where we stand, each of us, with Tua right now, because already, like, the comments have already been more active in the past 5 minutes of me talking than they have been in the past several shows combined, and all because it's the Tua Tagovailoa debate. So go ahead, Duke or Eric. I don't know which one of you wants to go first. Just go for it.
You know, I'm probably going to end up sounding like a giant fence sitter on this thing like I normally do when it comes to Tua, because the truth of the matter is I'm a Tua defender, but I can't bring myself, unfortunately, to go quite as far as Lewis does here. I like Tua. I think right now, I think that the best course of action is to extend Tua. Do I still have questions as to whether or not he can be the guy to ultimately lead the Dolphins to a Super Bowl? Absolutely, I have those questions. And those questions don't necessarily stem from, you know, I think he's a bad quarterback. It's just I wonder if the type of quarterback that he is successful in 2000 in the 2020s. You know, Drew Brees was doing his thing in 2008, 2009, 2010, early 2010s, kind of into the mid 2010s. It was a different league when Drew Brees was doing what he was doing. And so I do wonder a little bit about that when it comes to Tua. My thing with Tua, and it is something that reportedly he's doing, so I'm all for it. I know that he bulked up last year to kind of absorb some of those hits, but in an offense like the Dolphins, where the ball's out so quickly, you're barely getting hit in the first place. Maybe, getting a little bit slimmer, getting some of that mobility back that he had earlier in his career is the best course of action here. And I think that that's what he is doing. And I think that ultimately that's probably the best thing for him and for the team going forward, because let's be real. This team is built to win now. If you draft a quarterback in 2024 in the first round, that player, because of the amount of veteran talent that's around him, you have to be sure, okay, we're winning in the next 2 years with that quarterback. And at 21, unless you're willing to package up everything that you have this year and next year, seemingly, to move up for, one of the top three quarterbacks, I don't see a guy that makes the Dolphins better in 2024 or even 2025 in this class than Tua Tagovailoa. And that's just the long and the short of it. Now, do I think that they should have an out in his contract after 3-4 years, what have you? Some sort of escape route just in case things do go sideways? Absolutely. I think that's a smart thing, and I think that that's something every team is looking to do. But I think you can win with a quarterback who is somewhere between the 8th and 12th best in the league, and I think that ultimately, because of physical limitations, that's probably where Tua sits, and that's probably where he's going to continue to sit. You might get better production because he's got a really good supporting cast, but I think that that's going to be more than enough to be a competent offense, a more than competent offense, a really good offense. So I think anytime you have a borderline top 10 quarterback like Tua is, like it or not, he is borderline top 10, you go with it. You have to pay him. Because the alternative is hopping back on this cycle of, well, maybe we'll draft somebody. And that's just not feasible for where the Dolphins are right now. And I think Tua is taking the correct steps. Like I said, getting some of that mobility back. I think he's taking the right steps to do everything to earn that contract.
Duke.
Okay, so first of all, our arm strength has become the new pocket presence for Dolphins fans. It's a bit annoying to listen to the constant arm strength, arm strength, arm strength. I don't care if a quarterback can throw the ball through a brick wall from 100 yards away. A quarterback's job is to throw the ball on time to the right person in the right spot. And if he cannot do that, he's not a good quarterback. Josh Allen, for the first couple of years of his career, was not a good quarterback. He could run the ball. He was a great running back. But his accuracy was all over the place. He changed some of his mechanics. He worked on his accuracy. And suddenly, he's a top three quarterback in the league. Accuracy is the most important. That's the most important trait of any quarterback. If you're watching quarterbacks, if you're scouting quarterbacks, if you're looking at anything film-wise regarding quarterbacks, accuracy is your number one thing. If that is not your number one thing, you're doing it wrong. The next thing is mental processing when it comes to quarterbacks. You've got to be able to decipher pre-snap, post-snap, and make proper decisions. And I think McDaniel's system is very good with getting the ball out quick, partly because we have such good playmakers on the outside. You have guys like Waddle and Hill who can get open quick and get open deeper than a lot of other guys. And so it eases that, as opposed to, throwing the Devontae Parkers and Mike Gesicki's out there who are always covered and they never got any separation. So I think that helps. But that's the other part is the mental processing. Is that you've got to that aspect of quarterbacking is more important than arm strength. So I think the issue with Tua, he has an NFL arm. Is it a cannon? No, but it's good enough to excel in the NFL. Obviously, he's done that. The mental processing, he is getting there. Pre-snap, I think he's pretty good. He's got great footwork in the pocket. He knows how to maneuver around through the pocket, so the pocket presence is there. But there's times he has lapses in the mental processing. I think he's not quite as not as much of a yellow passer as, say, Ryan Fitzpatrick. But there are times that he misses a linebacker or a safety in coverage, and that happens to quarterbacks from time to time. But it seems like there's sometimes that they give him something different post-snap, and he doesn't pick it up. It's not often. So that's not a glaring issue, but it's something that needs to be worked on. Those are film room things. And so that's the deal with Tua. Is he's a timing quarterback. He's going to be a system friendly quarterback in this, or a system specific quarterback is what I meant to say. So he's not a guy that you're going to throw into a system just you can run anywhere. And he's not a guy that's going to make a lot of off-script plays. And I'm trying to read some of the comments here as they're coming in. Look, guys, you can say what you want to about any of the stuff. Accuracy is the most important. There's just no other way around it. I do not care. Yes, Tom Brady was very accurate. Tom Brady could throw the ball to the right spot at the right time. I mean, look, Jamarcus Russell, there's your name for you. Big arm. Ryan Leaf, big arm. How many, Jay Cutler, big arm. How many of these guys were super successful in the league just because they had a big arm? This isn't Madden.
I mean, I think I can think of only like a few names off the top of my head. Brett Favre probably was one. Elway had a cannon.
Marino, I mean, that's not saying having a big arm is bad. I mean, Mahomes has got 3 championships and he's got a big arm. It's a good thing to have. It is not.
But what was it? But that was. But here's the thing. That the defining. The difference was that with Favre, defining trait was arm strength.
Well, I mean, you could say the same thing about Marino. I mean, that was, you know, his quick release and arm strength. But the fact is, these guys were accurate quarterbacks. And so, and he says, like, there it says the route tree's cut in half. No, it's not cut in half. You want to know if the route tree's cut in half? That's drafting Michael Penix. Let's have a system in place that is built on timing, middle of the field throws, and accuracy, and then draft a quarterback who does not throw to the middle of the field, who struggles with accuracy, and who does not throw well with timing. He's got a big arm and he can throw a good deep ball. But again, this isn't Madden. So it doesn't matter that he can throw the deep ball great. That's it. He's not going to throw those middle of the field routes. He throws great to the edges. That's wonderful. But that's not where this money's being made. Tom Brady made his money throwing to the middle of the field. The good quarterbacks throw to the middle of the field. You know, another quarterback that I recall that his draft profile said the outside throws are great, but the middle of the field throws are bad. Ryan Tannehill. We all know how that goes. So, look, I don't have a problem if the Dolphins feel like they can upgrade the quarterback position. If they feel that's the way to go, then do it. I'm not against it. I mean, if something came out right now and they said Patrick Mahomes is a free agent, he can sign with any team, there's not a fan out there that will say, well, let's keep Tua over Patrick Mahomes. But the fact is, you're probably not finding that guy at 21 in the draft. You might get fortunate and fortunate and find your Mr. Irrelevant like Brock Purdy. But again, it's not the chances and it's not going to happen. And the other comment was Penix can throw off platform. He can throw from all angles. Well, that's great when that has to happen for the 5 or 6 throws a game that has to happen. On the other throws, when he's dropped back in the pocket and he's supposed to throw a slant and it's too low, too high, it's behind the guy or not accurate. Guess what? You went from 2nd and 6 to 3rd and 6. Now you're in long down and distance. You're putting yourself, that's where Tua does the best work, is he keeps this offense on schedule. He makes good throws. He hits guys in stride. Does he have the biggest arm? No. But again, that's not the most important thing. So I mean, look, if there's a guy out there in the draft that just is head and shoulders, the best guy, and the Dolphins think they can get him, sure. But I just don't think Penix is that guy. I don't think he fits this offense. We talked about that, I think, last week when Alf was on here. That question was brought up.
I think the mentality, though, Duke, that we're having here in the chat is that people are saying that if McDaniel's so smart, he can remake the whole offense to meet the new quarterback instead of having to just keep the old scheme and plug in a new quarterback.
Oh, that, that's fine if you're trying to win a Super Bowl in 2026 or 27. You're not getting there. You're not going to change your entire offense in one season. You're not going to change your offense in one season for that guy. And by the time that happens, you're going to be drafting other players. Jalen Ramsey's going to be gone. Bradley Chubb's going to be gone. You're going to it's spinning your wheels. It's dumb. So the question is with Tua is can he minimize the mistakes that we've seen him make in some of these spots with the decision making, with some of those mental processing errors that he has from time to time. You minimize those. I think if you get a better third option, whether that's Jonnu Smith, whether it's a third wide receiver, we saw that come up in various games where, I mean, obviously the Dolphins are looking at it. They had a contract offer for Odell Beckham. They've got, saw today preliminary interest in Tyler Boyd. They're looking for a third option. So, that doesn't seem to me like they're saying, hey, let's go get another quarterback. I mean, and if you want to have an offense that lives off schedule where your quarterback just drops back in the pocket a mile, and if you watch Patrick Mahomes play, and I've seen this mentioned other times, watch Patrick Mahomes play. He's in the shotgun, and he still takes like a 7 to 9 step drop. It's ridiculous. Most quarterbacks can't do that. So he's a special talent. But it's – that's not something Tua is going to do. But at the same time, you know, some of those plays, he's not going to make necessarily the off-platform throw where he's running to the sideline and throws 150 yards downfield. I don't care if he can do that or not. That's really not that big of a deal to me. What I want to see is I want to see, again, just reduction in some of those mental errors. I want to see him take the profit when it's there, with the check downs or the shorter passes, even if it means a 5-yard play versus a 20-yard play, that and just continue being smart in the pocket and avoiding contact and not taking stupid hits. Again, Tua's not a bad quarterback. So you're talking about let's move on from a top 10 quarterback, and that's what he is, for a guy that not only doesn't fit the system. I don't know. I don't even know if he has a first-round grade on him. Somebody's probably going to take him in the first round, but I don't
have No. Somebody's definitely going to take Michael Penix in the first round. There's too many teams that are quarterback needy and are looking for something to give their fan base hope. So they'll look at Michael Penix, and I'm not even saying he's not talented. He could very well be a very talented player, but that's just it. For all the discussion we've had about Tua, I know what Tua is. Top 10 quarterback with potential, by the way, again, potential to be more. Once upon a time, Drew Brees was considered the best quarterback in the NFL. He was. Once upon a time. He was right up there with Brady. He was right up there with Aaron Rodgers. Right up there with all the greats of all time. But there's still potential for more with him. He's not done. He's only in year 5. He's not. It's not like he's the 15-year veteran and we've seen everything that he can do and it's all downhill from here.
Yeah, I'm just kind of reading the comments. This is like Tua has to see a one-on-one and throw it early to get it downfield. That's how most downfield throws are. I mean,
I think what you're trying to say is if the receiver is already 30 yards down the field and then you throw it, at that point you waited too long.
That's Madden football.
What I'm gathering here is. You know who the comments want the Dolphins to trade for? To be the backup? To compete with Tua? You know who they would love? Zach Wilson. Oh my God. You ever saw him at BYU? All it was running around and making off-script plays and throwing the ball 60 yards downfield on a dime on the run.
See, that's the kind of stuff that makes SportsCenter.
But yeah, exactly. It's like trick shots. Yeah, you know, it's such a niche skill.
Nobody that watches other games. Nobody that watches these other games. I think people that watch the highlight shows, they see Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, and they make these crazy throws that make the highlight reels, and they don't catch the 4-yard pass and then the 5-yard pass. And then, you know, these guys get 40 attempts a game. They're not, you know, 35 of those are standard pocket throws. The other 5 are the ones that show up on the highlight shows, and people see that and like, well, Tua can't do that. Well, I don't care that Tua can't do those 5 throws. He can do the other 35 throws. Now, the one throw that I will say that Tua will struggle with, because he does not have the arm strength to do that, would be like a deep out to the wide side of the field. Those are throws that I think it was Brett Coleman. I don't know the name, what his channel is called, but Brett Coleman on YouTube, he does a lot of this stuff. And he covered this on a show last year. And he's like, he was talking about how Tyreek is a perfect fit for Tua based on some of the way that Kansas City used him in the last season he was there. And that's one of the things he talked about. It's like, he's not going to throw like a deep ball or something to the opposite side of the field. So if he's on the boundary hash, he's not throwing to the field side. He doesn't have that kind of arm. Now, you can say that takes out of the playbook. That's understandable. But just about every other throw on the field he can make. Now, one of the things that he has to do compared to somebody like a Josh Allen is that if he's throwing a deep out route, and I hate it when people talk about arm strength and the deep ball. You know who had one of the prettiest deep balls that I've ever seen? Was Chad Pennington. And that joker had the weakest arm of anybody in the NFL. He floated everything. He would float a pass 5 yards down the field. His shoulder was shot by the time he got at the Dolphins. Yet his first season, maybe his second season, I don't remember, but it's whichever one they played at Houston. And he hit Ted Ginn perfectly in stride down the field, like 50 yards down the field on a deep ball. The deep ball is not a good test of arm strength. I mean, I'm old out here, and I could probably wind up and throw a 50-yard pass. The arm strength comes in on the deep out route. Tua can throw the deep out route, but he has to throw it early in the progression. He can't wait and sit back. That can't be a see it, throw it type of throw for him. It has to be in that spot, because he does not have the arm strength to get it there later in the progression. So a guy like Allen or Mahomes or the big arm quarterbacks can make that throw. That said, that's a dangerous throw to do, because if you're late, you might have the arm strength to get it there, but the NFL cornerbacks, they're going to jump that pass. So you really want to throw it early to begin with. But that's neither here nor there. Yeah, that's just, you know, it's the whole arm strength issue. I think it's a minor issue. The same thing with Tannehill. Tannehill went to Tennessee, right? His first year there. And what did he do? He goes to the AFC Championship game. And it wasn't all Derrick Henry. They won games because of Tannehill. So he goes from being this guy in Miami who couldn't get the job done. And the first thing he does is go to a game that the Dolphins haven't been in 40 years. Excuse me, 30 years. So, you know, I think it's too late to give up on Tua, especially when you consider the first 3 years he had Flores, and that was a dumpster fire if there ever was one. He's in year 3 in the system. I think they're going to work out some of the kinks, and I think he's going to come out this year and do very well. As far as the contract goes, I agree with you, Lewis, that it needs to be I think it's better for both parties to get it done beforehand. He's either going to price himself out of the Dolphins' range, or he's going to get hurt or something and hurt himself and some money. So go ahead and get the contract extension done. But I believe that he will. I don't think it's going to be necessarily a top of the market deal either. I think it'll be reasonably close, but not over the top.
All right. I'm just going to address one more thing before I get into my piece here. Cap for Life is asking, if Drew Brees was top 10, why was he traded to New Orleans? He wasn't. He signed a free agent contract to go to the Saints, by the way. So he was never traded to begin.
He didn't do well in San Diego, and then they traded.
He did all right. He was all right.
He was okay. He wasn't the Drew Brees that we know.
Right. That's my main point is that it took him going to New Orleans with Sean Payton how many years into the league for him to become Hall of Famer.
And then they traded, or the Chargers drafted and then traded for Phillip Rivers, who is, you know, a great quarterback, probably going to be in the Hall of Fame. They never won anything with him. So, you know, I wonder how it felt for them to watch them win a Super Bowl, watch Drew Brees win a Super Bowl with another team while they struggled to win. Now, they did make the AFC Championship one game, and I will give Phillip Rivers credit. He played that game with a torn ACL.
I'm not questioning what Phillip Rivers was capable of. Phillip Rivers was also a very good quarterback. In that sense, the Chargers had two quarterbacks who were very good, and they could have won with either of them. It's just a question of, could they do it? Apparently not. They just missed all the other pieces that they needed to make it work.
And see, I'll stop on this because I've said too much. But here's what I will say about this. If the Dolphins get rid of Tua, anybody who said that the Dolphins need to get rid of Tua, if he goes on to have success and wins a Super Bowl with another team, you are not allowed to speak about Dolphins quarterbacks ever again. Just go ahead and give it up. This is your final stand. You said the same thing about every other quarterback. If they get rid of him and he goes somewhere else and has success, don't talk.
We talk about the quarterback carousel that Miami had for such a long time. We had since Tannehill was drafted in 2008. It's 12. Now 2024.
12.
Oh, 12. I'm sorry. 12. You're right. I'm sorry. 2008 is Pennington. That's why my brain is like stuck on 2008. But we had Tannehill in 2012, and he played for the 7 years that we had him. We had 2 years of Fitzpatrick, technically. And then ever since then, it's been Tua. So the carousel has been pretty darn slow over the past 10 or so years, which I'm perfectly fine with. It means that we're actually giving a chance to develop, which is not something that Miami has done very well in the past several years. In fact, not a lot of teams do that at all anymore. So now here's where I go into the discussion of where's Tua's next step. Because for all the comments are filled with skepticism about Tua, and I get it. They want young, fresh blood that's not this guy who failed in the playoffs. And I understand it. Everybody was frustrated. Whatever. Apparently, Cat for Life Duke says you said something he'd agree with. I don't know what you said, but I don't know what you said, but apparently he agrees with you. But in any case, this is where we get into the actual news, which is that according to sources, and this is coming from Bobby Shouse, who is, for what it's worth, he's good friends with Nick Hicks, who is Tua's personal fitness trainer. Tua is going to be training with 3D QB this offseason alongside quarterback coaches, the formerly Miami Dolphins quarterback John Beck, then Adam Dedeaux, I don't know if that's how you say his name, and Tom House. Now, House is the one that everybody knows and says, oh, he needs to work with Tua more than anybody else because he's the one who can fix everything. And as Bobby points out, quarterbacks who have worked with House on the regular include Brady, Breeze, who we mentioned several times, Lamar Jackson, Matt Stafford, Jared Goff, CJ Stroud, who everybody loves right now. Matt Ryan, when he was working with House, was at the top of his game in the NFL. So what does Tom House and them do? They work on mechanics. They work on making sure that everything is on point. They make sure that you're going to get the most power out of your base. They're going to make sure you've got good torque. They're going to make sure that you've got all these things that make a quarterback reach your peak. And not only that, we'll add on to that the news that we had heard that Tua is going to start working on speed and his agility in this offseason. So that's more of a Nick Hicks thing. But nevertheless, I see you shaking your head. I don't know if you're shaking your head at something I said in the comments or if it was something that I just brought up. But I personally, this is me, I prefer to know that Tua is going to be working on his speed and agility, because I feel like to some extent that's part of Tua's game that he's been missing, is that he should be able to run with the football if he feels that that is the best decision at that moment. Bulking up, making him slower, I get why they did it, but I don't necessarily agree with it. I think he needs to run more because that helps keep the defense on their toes. And Tua can do it. He did it some in college. In fact, not to call myself out on the carpet again, but I erroneously called Tua a running quarterback in Alabama because all the highlights that I saw on SportsCenter were of Tua taking off. So that's why in my brain, because I hadn't done my homework yet, I thought, oh, Tua's a running quarterback. Wrong. I know that now. But this is a situation where that's still an aspect of his game that he hasn't been able to tap into yet. And him working on that is going to go a long way. Now he's also working on his overall quarterback mechanics, that at least reportedly. We haven't gotten official confirmation yet. And I don't know if we actually will or not until he actually starts doing it. But he's going to be working with House and them to get his mechanics. And that's something that I think we can say was a struggle for Tua, because late in the season, it looked like his mechanics were starting to break down. His accuracy has started to go down. All that comes down to making sure your mechanics and everything is polished. So with all that said, this is yet another step. Tua's never shown any lack of desire or willingness to improve any aspect of his game that he possibly can. And that in and of itself right there is proof positive for me that he can and will get better. He's doing everything humanly possible to do so. With all that said, I'm going to welcome Alfredo Arteaga into the show. He's been in the comment section, watching everything go down. So I'm going to go ahead and let Alf just have his say. How are you, Alf?
Worst, after listening to some of these idiots. Like, I'm looking at one comment right here. Do you guys realize why Mostert started getting all the calls in the red zone? Yeah, because Tua drove him to the 1 yard line and they handed him the ball at the 1 yard line. You know, that number one offense that Tua led. And then he writes, Tua has the highest pickable pass percentage in the red zone. That's a lie. And I could tell it's completely made up, because if you like, I could look up the numbers. And just off the top of my head, I know that the numbers are going to be not to his favor. So you could go to somebody else while I'll look up the numbers.
All right, so we'll go ahead and work on that. But Eric, let's go into the actual you mentioned it briefly, but what are your thoughts on the whole Tua's off-season program here? What do you approve of? I know you approve of Tom House. What do you think about the whole speed and agility to maybe improve his running?
I agree with the speed and agility. Although I do think, if I'm being really honest, all this, and I know that it's Dolphins Twitter and they're going to do what they're going to do. I think all the speculation is a little silly, although, listen.
I got the numbers if you want to hear it. I got the numbers if you want to hear it. Yeah, and then we could ban this guy for good. In the red zone for his career, Tua has a 99.9 quarterback rating, which is, you ready for this? Number one in the NFL since he came into the league. And this is for his career, by the way. He has 56 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. You want to hear that again? 56 touchdowns. That's 5-6. That's you want me to count to 56? I can. 56 touchdowns and 3 interceptions.
Okay. That is 19-1 touchdown to interception ratio for.
If you want to reduce it even further, first and goal for the Dolphins since he became and this is his entire career. I'm not taking the last 2 years. If you want me to take the last 2 years, it could get ugly here, okay? I'm taking the entire career, all 4 years. His entire 4 years, first and goal. He has a 93.1 quarterback rating. That is fourth behind Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. You want to guess who's third? I'll leave you guys.
Tom Brady.
I'm just going to throw Lamar Jackson out there, I guess.
Somebody got it right. It was Tom Brady. Okay. And he has 45 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Yeah, this guy's a clown. You could ban him right now.
I mean, I the way that I like, look at it.
What are you talking about here? We spent almost 30 years looking for a quarterback. We found one, a good one, a really good one. And now all these clowns are in the – because, look, at a time there was like, Tua-hating crowd. They're no longer the Tua-hating crowd. Now there's a – because there's still a Tua-hating, you know, aspect to this fan base. But now there is this anything, anybody but Tua bandwagon. Now they want to draft Michael Penix. Michael Penix, first of all, and let's dissect Michael Penix. And I happen to be one of these people that actually likes Michael Penix. Okay. Let's take every single quarterback prospect in this draft. Okay. I have a very simple rating system that I use. All right. I use 10 questions and then I weigh them. And I've talked about this on OnlyFans before. Out of all these prospects, there's only one that scores equal to what Tua scored in 2020, and that's Caleb Williams. That's it. That's the only prospect that scores equal to Tua. And Tua has the worst strike against him for all quarterback prospects, which is an injury history in college. He had a catastrophic hip injury. So that tells you how well he scored everywhere else. Okay. Out of all these prospects, if Tua did not have an injury history, he would be so far head and shoulders above every single one of these prospects, it wouldn't be funny. He would be the first overall pick. Now, if you want to compare Michael Penix, yeah, his best characteristic is that he's very comparable to Tua, except he does not throw against middle of the field closed defenses as well as Tua does. He does not throw over the middle as well as Tua does. He's not as accurate deep as Tua is. He has a more extensive injury history than Tua. He doesn't have the pedigree through high school into recruitment into one college as Tua because he transferred twice. Okay, and he was not a highly touted athlete coming out of high school. We already talked about the injury history. And then he's only, if Tua, put it this way, if Tua was in school at the same time as Michael Penix, Tua would have been graduating 1 year ahead of Michael Penix. 1 year. Michael Penix is a year younger than Tua. What are we talking about here? Like, these are people. These are people that enjoyed 7-9, and they want to get back to 7-9.
Does Michael Penix run a lot?
No, he's fast, okay. But he never runs. He never runs.
But he's fast. So when he does run, it's impressive.
If the day that an NFL game is decided by putting on track shoes and in shorts, and you could run from the 40-yard line to the goal line, then he'll be useful.
No, but what I'm saying is, what I'm trying to speculate is why the Penix thing is like, why are people so gung ho on him specifically? And the only thing that I can think of is that he has, does Michael Penix have a stronger arm than Tua overall?
Yes.
Does he run, but he runs faster than Tua does. So
yeah,
he has,
but he's not a more opportunistic runner because he never leaves. He never leaves the pocket.
Right. I get that. But this is where it becomes, okay, so what they're looking at is Penix has raw physical talent that Tua does not have. They're basically seeing stars in their eyes with metrics that Tua does not match physically.
In a broken body that had two ACL injuries. Two. One on each knee.
And he's available at 21. I mean, yeah. if he was a great prospect, he's not going to be available at 21.
No, there's a reason why Tua got crushed underneath two Mississippi State defensive tackles, had a catastrophic hip injury, and still went fifth overall. There's a reason for that. It wasn't because the Dolphins reached. He was going sixth if the Dolphins didn't take him. The Dolphins had taken Justin Herbert, and I will guarantee you, had they taken Justin Herbert, all these same idiots will be talking about getting rid of Herbert right now.
It is. Okay. I call it the greener grass syndrome. I've seen it for years with other players, other positions. The grass is always greener on the other side, and they see something else, and it definitely has to be better. And I'm not going to quote the song lyric on the show, but Soundgarden had a song lyric about why the grass is always greener. So you can look that up.
I don't get that reference. I'm sure somebody out there does, though. I'll ask you after the show. So, all right. We did 45 minutes of Tua, and I know that the comments are going to continue talking about Tua even after we move on from this discussion, but I wanted to really quickly ask everybody else. So, other news that came out today, other rumors, I guess you could say, the Dolphins made inquiries regarding Tyler Boyd, who is the third wide receiver formerly of the Cincinnati Bengals. It looks like he's looking for a new home. The Dolphins have made it abundantly clear at this point that they are looking for a third wide receiver type guy, a veteran of some sort, to be able to lean on. So that way they have so much flexibility now in the draft. We didn't even talk about the fact that they re-signed Kendall Lamb today, which part of me is happy about. The other part isn't, because I want to see what Keon Smith has to do. But yeah, Duke in his App State shirt. But I kind of want to see a lot of Keon Smith. That being said, I get that depth is super important with this offensive line, and Kendall Lamb provides that in spades. So I'm glad to have him back. I hope Keon Smith still gets an opportunity to prove himself, because I really think there's something there. But it's clear the Dolphins want to be able to have as much flexibility as humanly possible with their 21st overall pick. So I'm going to ask you guys, you now have Dolphins connected, and in theoretically, no official word has been made, but connected to Michael Thomas. We've now heard a report. We now have no for a fact that there is a contract on the table for Odell Beckham Jr. And the Dolphins have started rumored to have started preliminary inquiries as to potentially signing Tyler Boyd. So I'll ask this to all three of you. Of the three guys that we just mentioned, who would you want Miami to pick and why?
Odell Beckham.
Yeah, I don't think it's particularly close. By the way, the guy that's talking about when were the Huskies relevant? You know, before Michael Penix. Well, right before Michael Penix got there, they were in the CFP semifinal 2 years in a row. They were in the Fiesta Bowl and they were in the Rose Bowl. So get lost, clown.
I'll agree with Duke. Odell would be the best of the three.
Yeah, I don't think it's particularly close. I think because Odell Beckham is the one that kind of unlocks certain parts of the offense. If you go and you get Tyler Boyd, make no mistake, Tyler Boyd is the better player right now. But if you get Tyler Boyd, you're back to the same philosophies as last year, and you're back to trying to unlock the slot receiver with a new face. So you're essentially just replacing Cedric Wilson, and you're hoping that replacing Cedric Wilson with a better slot player is going to make your offense better. Maybe it does. But I prefer getting Odell Beckham and playing him on the outside and using Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle in the slot. And that's going to make the offense much, much, much better. So, yeah, if you want the better player, sure. Tyler Boyd is the better player. If you want the guy's going to be better for the offense, I think Odell Beckham is going to be. And I understand some are saying, oh, you know, but what about, you know, does this really mean that we're out on Odell Beckham if they're looking at other people? Well, no, they just spent a lot of money, you know, on all these ancillary pieces. And you know that their cap space has to be down to nearly nothing.
Even know what the Kendall Lamb numbers are yet.
Yeah, so let's say Kendall Lamb got $2 million, right? And then they're probably down to like $2 million. I doubt that they offered $2 million to Odell Beckham. Remember that they're getting 18.5, okay? So they're getting 18.5 on June 1st. So,
and for what it's worth, for better or worse, we still have not gotten the Tyreek Hill restructure. That's still in their back pocket if they want it.
No, and the Tua extension, which is going to open up about $14 million. So they could be sitting here with like $40 million in cap space, okay, in June, and that's going to allow for them to maybe even move some of that money around. So they might be able to even front load part of Tua's contract into that first year. They might not touch that fifth year option, because evidently Brandon Shore is like really, really good at his job. So
scary, you know, good.
Okay. He's able to take a situation that everybody was calling cap, you know, cap apocalypse. And they're kind of sitting pretty again with, they're going to be flush with picks again next year. So absolutely.
Now, you know? I will say this. They can't go on a spending spree per se, because if I'm not mistaken, you usually need to have around $10 million or so just to be able to sign your draft class.
Right. So, yeah, if you could do the math on this, they're going to have, like, let's say they do nothing else, okay? Although they will. They're probably going to extend Tyreek, or they're going to restructure Tyreek. But let's say they do absolutely nothing. Come June 1st, they're going to have somewhere around $7 to $8 million to play with. That's more than enough to get OBJ, in my opinion. I think Odell Beckham is something that, you know, I'm figuring, you know, I could be completely wrong, but 1 year, $7 million with a large guarantee could probably get it done. You know, maybe something with incentives that could get him closer to nine, maybe that gets it done.
Do you think they would pivot
off of that if the draft falls a certain way?
I think they're going to look at the draft regardless. Like, I think in an ideal world, they will sign Odell Beckham and they will use either pick 21 or pick 55 on a wide receiver. And I think that they know that this is a generational class and they're positioning themselves by all the moves that they've made, they're positioning themselves, especially loading up on all this depth on the offensive line. Like, you can see that they're hedging bets here. Mm-hmm. They're positioning themselves to take a wide receiver with one of those two picks. I think in an ideal world, the board really falls well for them, and they trade down. They gain some ammo because this draft, man, is so loaded in that top 100 that I almost think it's still a detriment to your team that you only have two top 100 picks. Like, you kind of want a fourth-round pick in this draft. Like, I was looking at a guy on OnlyFans from Colorado State. He's an edge player. And I don't like shorter edge players, but there's a guy called Mohamed Kamara. He's number 8 for the Colorado State Rams. If you watch that guy play, just watch him play and tell me who he reminds you of. He reminds me a lot of Brandon Graham. There's a little bit of even Cam Wake in there by his dip and rip. His get-off is absolutely second to none in this draft. People are not going to like that guy because he's 6'1.5", 255 pounds. So that's the kind of guy that you can take in the fourth round and hello to your fourth edge rusher.
You said that, and the first team I thought of was the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was like, that's a guy they would take and turn into a 10-year vet that, you know, maybe not a superstar, but a guy that plays well on their team for a decade. So I remember watching him against the I think it was the Colorado game.
Yeah. Yeah, he's running this. He had one thing I like, man, and some people don't care about this. I do. I like to see my edge rushers to be super productive in college. I care about that. Others don't. I do. He had 13.5 sacks last season. Okay. He's highly productive. I believe he had 47 pressures. That's unheard of. All right. So if you want a guy that can rush the passer, he's going to be there for you in the fourth round. We don't have a fourth round pick, and that's a problem. So,
but the thing is that, as CK also mentioned, I think he was during one of your podcasts, or either that or was on OnlyFans, but he had mentioned that usually every team wants to trade down to some extent. They all want to trade down.
Yeah, you just need that partner. You know what I mean?
Right. Teams don't get to trade down. Another team trades up, and you just happen to be the one they trade up with.
Well, I'll tell you who. Do you have the draft order there? Tell me who's in the bottom of the first round.
Well, before we go in there, I'll mention that Pro Football Focus listed some trades that they wanted to see, and they had Miami or Green Bay trading from 25 to 21 to draft Cooper DeJean, and Miami got 25, a 2025 third, and pick 144 or something like that. So that's kind of putting you in that range to get a guy like that.
So to answer the question, every team below Miami is Eagles at 22, Vikings at 23 from Cleveland through Houston.
If the Vikings don't get their quarterback earlier and they're sitting there, they can move up to take Michael Penix if Michael Penix drops to us, you know?
So just two picks is enough to get a fourth?
Yes, easily.
Well, Miami went from 26 to 30 in the 2020 draft and got a fourth round pick. And it turned out it was the fourth round pick that they traded in the deal with Larry McTunsil. So they got it back. And that was the, I can't think of his name. It was the guard from Georgia. That's who they took. But that was
And I'll never forget when the Patriots held Vernon Carey hostage. And Vernon Carey, by the way, was a fabulous tackle. And I thought he would have been an all-pro guard had they played him at guard from day one. But I remember when the Patriots held Vernon Carey hostage over one pick, and Miami traded up one spot to take Vernon Carey, and they had to swap a third-round pick to do it. And who did the Patriots take one pick later? Does Duke know?
Vince Wilfork, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Oh, the human bowling ball. Yes, Vince Wilfork. Okay.
Two Miami players.
All right. So who else is behind Minnesota?
Dallas at 24, Packers at 25, Bucks at 26.
Maybe the Bucks.
So 27 is the Cardinals, Bills 28. Now, when I did, I put it on OnlyFans, and I think I might have tweeted it out too, but I traded down with Detroit at 29, and I was able to get like some 2025 picks, and I was able to get some good stuff in that draft too. Now, at 29, you can still get some good players. I think it was JPJ I ended up getting, Jackson Powers Johnson, with the 29th, but I think there was at least one draft that I was able to get my hands on Graham Barton. And I don't know, because his draft stock, I think, is about to skyrocket.
Graham Barton will not make it past the 49ers. They've been all over him since the onset. And
he's there, but the 49ers are at 31. So that would mean that San Francisco would have to trade up, even if we end up trading down with Detroit.
Graham Barton is the guy that we could hold hostage. You know, if the 49ers really, really want them, you know.
Yeah, and that's a trade partner as well. And you're getting into that spot in the late first, early second, where some of those maybe second tier wide receivers will be. And so, if that's your goal, you know, Mike McDaniel is salivating over someone like Xavier Worthy with that speed. Is he a guy you want to take at 21? Maybe, maybe not. But if you can get moved down to, say, 31 and get him, or, you know, maybe even the early part of that second round and pick up some extra picks and get your guy there. The thing that I've been arguing with on the Finsider and others is a lot of people are like, we've got to get a guard or a defensive tackle at 21. We've got to get this guy. And I'm like, no, I'm not a fan of Jackson Powers Johnson just for the fact that he's basically an interior offensive lineman only. And to me, that's just kind of a not good value pick at the first round. Now, there's some offensive linemen I like at 21, and if they're there, I would take them. And I like Graham Barton, even though I think he's going to play inside. I think he has some tackle availability because he's played that in college. But that's a spot. You move down there, you pick up your receiver, you get that extra pick, and you get that edge rusher later on. And I agree with Alfon and the fact you've got – I think an edge rusher is a bigger need than what people are thinking, because right now we have one healthy guy and some other guys. I don't know who's there besides Shaq Barrett. That's healthy.
Is Cameron Good going to be back? I don't know.
I don't know if he's even healthy at this point, though, isn't
he? No, I mean, he's not healthy. Well, that was the final game of the season, and that was a significant knee injury. So
I will say this. I'm wondering, specifically with Jackson Powers Johnson, if we could see a very Creed Humphrey-like fall for him, because everybody, and I mean everybody that I remember in that draft, had Creed Humphrey as a first-round draft pick easily, and he tumbled all the way to the 63rd overall pick somehow to Kansas City, and the NFL is dumb for letting that happen. But
I think that could happen. Absolutely.
The mock draft that absolutely drove me nuts was the Mike Tannenbaum, because he had Miami picking Jackson Powers Johnson at 21, and the very next pick was Brock Bowers, and I didn't need to see any more. I was done. That got a reaction from me. Because that guy in Mike McDaniel's offense would be ridiculous. And Mike Tannenbaum was like, oh, well, they lost the rubber hunt. They need a guard. So there he is. I'm like, dude, you're just hating the Dolphins now. You're just mad because you got canned. Just stop.
I got a number. Somebody, there's a great Twitter. Let me see if I can find it here. It's a great Twitter account. Go to Football Insights at FBFball_Insights, and they have a breakdown of every single prospect in this draft, yards after the catch per reception. Okay, do you know who's number one the entire draft?
I'm guessing it's Brock Bowers.
It's Brock Bowers, and he's a tight end. You know who's second? Taj Washington. Third is Malachi Corley. Fourth is Xavier Worthy. Are you see where I'm going with this? So, yes, if you watch Brock Bowers play, he's different. It's a special kind of cat. And I understand some are saying, yeah, but you got Jonnu Smith. Well, first of all, you know, Jonnu Smith's not going to be here 10 years. Brock Bowers can. But also, wouldn't it be nice to have two play them both. What's wrong with 12 personnel with those two guys?
Well, and if that's the case, then we're going to do that. Then let me just check something really quickly. Let's see. In 2025, you end up accumulating 1.6 million. Oh, wait, no, hold on. You end up getting 2.1 million in cap savings if you cut Durham Smythe and 2.6 in dead cap. Just saying. If there's no way that you're going to have Brock Bowers, Durham Smythe, and Jonnu Smith, and Julian Hale all in the same room. Like, there's just not enough space for them all.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, though, is everybody looks at it as drafting a tight end, and it inherently becomes unsexy, but you have to.
I don't mind. No. I don't mind.
Not you necessarily. Not you necessarily. I'm talking about in general, the general, idea there. Drafting Brock Bowers, like, the expectation here, and I don't want to throw Hall of Fame comparisons onto a guy right away, but, like, you're drafting him to be in that Kittle, Kelsey, Mark Andrews class of tight end. You're not even drafting really you're not drafting Jonnu Smith, for example. You are drafting a guy that you expect to walk in and be a top 5-6 player at his position almost immediately with Brock Bowers. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of talent you're looking at here.
Like a Sam Laporta type impact as a rookie.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So once again, I just want to remind everybody on April 23rd is going to be our mock draft version of Pulse of Fins Nation. We will get on the simulator and we will go through the entire round. It's probably going to be a longer show. I don't know if it's going to end up on 3 yards because of how long it's going to be, but it's going to, we always do at least one every single year, and we are going to do it this year too.
Do we need a simulator? Are we not just going to pick picks?
I always pull the simulator out because we're only going to pick the Dolphins. We're basically going to be one conglomerating GM, okay. And we're going to say, here's what's going to happen with the Miami Dolphins. We're not just saying, oh, this team picks this, this team picks this. We'll let the computer deal with the other teams. I want to focus on, we are all Chris Greer, and we are going to decide as the board falls, what is Miami going to do? So that's just a fun little exercise I like to have every single year. I know Ron Caniff will come out of his off-season hiatus to join us for that one, so that'll be fun. A lot of stuff that's going to be happening here. I'm really excited for everything that's happening. Once the draft happens, off-season's almost over. Football's going to be coming back before you know it. It's already April. The year's already a quarter of the way gone, man. Like, I blinked, and it was New Year's, and now it's April. It goes by so fast, man.
Well, you're speaking of the off-season. I saw this today on ESPN. First day of whatever for the Dolphins is April 15th. OTAs May 2021, May 23rd, May 28th, 29th, and May 31st. And mandatory mini camps June 4th through 6th. So even after the draft, we've got all of that coming up. And then there's the lull from June 6th to the end of July. But it'll be here before you know it.
For real. Football season's already coming back. All right, everybody. Thank you all so much for joining us. We really appreciate all the comments, giving us a lot to talk about. Make sure, once again, if you haven't already done so, go check out Factor. So once again, Factor, you can go to factormeals.com/3yardsper carry 50. You need to make sure you put those numbers in, 3 yards per carry 50 as a promo code, and you will get 50% off your first order. Save yourself the trouble of having to go to the grocery store. Let Factor take care of it for you. They'll send you the food. All you have to do is make it using the instructions. You'll get a tasty, healthy meal right to your doorstep. And, of course, make sure you go over to prizepicks.com. Use the promo code 5, that's FIVE, and they will match up to $100 on your deposit when you sign up. And before I forget to mention it, we are still affiliate sponsored by My Nintendo Store. Click the link in the description of this YouTube video, and you'll be able to get bonus items upon making your purchase of either of these fun games that are on the screen right now. Super Mario Brothers Wonder, Super Mario Brothers RPG, both available, both fun to play. That's going to be it for this show. We will have 3 yards per carry on the podcast feed. OnlyFins is in the description. Make sure you go there for some of the best Dolphins talk out there. It's in the Alf. You know the URL by heart, so go ahead and explain to the people.
You got to go to discord.gg/OnlyFins, and you can become a member there for $3 a month.
And trust me, it's going to be the best $3 you ever spent. All right, folks, that's going to be it. We will see you all next week for another episode of Pulse of Fins Nation.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.